Please stand either in body or spirit for the call to worship. I will remember the Lord's deeds. Yes, I remember your wondrous acts from times long past.
I will meditate on all your works. I will ponder your deeds.
God, your way is holiness. Who is as great a God as you, God?
You are the God who works wonders. You have demonstrated your strength among all people.
Let us worship God.
And welcome to worship on this beautiful Labor Day weekend. Yes, Pastor Laird is here. He is dealing with a small issue at this moment, but he'll be joining us shortly. See, you're reaping the benefits of having two clergy. You didn't have to wait. How about that? We do welcome you here on this beautiful day. I ask that if you can find the attendance pad in your pew, if you would share that with one another. And that means pick it up from where it's sitting in the pew and pass it on down the line. We want everyone to have an opportunity to put their name in there so that we know that you're here, and also to be able to look and see who else is worshiping with you this morning. You will find a communion card or a prayer card, which is tucked into the pocket of the pew that's in front of you. If you would take that, if you have a prayer concern or a praise and you would like to share that, you'll have an opportunity here in a few moments to bring that forward or to give it to one of our ushers, and they will bring that for you. But now let us join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. We cry aloud to you, O God. Hear our prayers. In times of trouble, we need your comfort. Amid our confusion, we seek your clarity. From temptations of flesh, we beg for your liberation. Lead us away from the false gods we create, that we may meet you here with full expectancy and eager responsiveness. Amen. You may be seated. This is a reading from the 77th Psalm. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We come to the time in our service where we share our joys and concerns and hold them up to the Lord. You know, we can't say enough about those who go out the first Sunday of every month when we have celebrate the Lord's Supper here and take it to those that can't make it in as often as they used to, and in some cases are homebound completely. But we thank, once again, we hold up Bill Cooper and a really loyal and dedicated team of folks that do that. They've already been there and done that this morning, so we thank the Lord for that. We are thankful that we have not actually more than one, but this morning we have Mike Puckett, who's over preaching at Aldersgate. He's filling the pulpit over there because Sherry Goff is out of town or something, and so they asked him to fill in. And as a certified lay minister, that's sort of the stuff that that he will be doing, I guess. We thank God that we have so many wonderful greeters. We have a very strong greeting team. I hope everybody here feels really greeted, and if you're a visitor, we hope that you especially feel greeted. Had a nice time over at the parsonage on Thursday evening, and it helped us remember how thankful we are to have that group of people. We are thankful that we have a couple in our congregation that this must be a typo here. Is it possible for anyone to be married for 65 years? Do you think? Oh, yes. Dick and Pat Goodwin celebrated their 65th anniversary this last week. So. And if you heard me say that, that's because Dick is back in the sound booth doing the sound, just like he always is. So we thank you, Dick, for that. Our heart should be stirred, and we should be very thankful for the way our country is coming together. and helping those people in Texas and Louisiana and all of that. It seems like as horrible as a disaster that is, the silver lining is seeing the way God's people come together for that. And so that's our concern as well for those in whose lives have been changed, in some cases forever, by the flood. And you may not know that during almost the same period of time, there were many killed. I didn't understand if it was 1,200 or 12,000 people that were killed in India and Nepal and Bangladesh because of flooding over there. We also keep Carolyn Lovelace in our prayers, Andy Smith, Nancy Turner. And will you remain seated as we sing our call to prayer together? Gracious God, we pray for the victims of this disaster in Texas and Louisiana and the other states, and also for those in India and Nepal and Bangladesh, where apparently thousands were killed. We ask that you comfort the lives of those who were spared and receive those that were killed. And Lord, bless those who are doing everything they can to help these people put their lives back together. We ask that you make sure that things run smoothly in repairing their lives. Lord, we ask you to help the victims to have patience and also help family members to be reunited. Protect the victims so they don't come under any illnesses from this disaster, and so that they get enough food and clean water and proper shelter according to your will. Lord, let us touch the hearts of those around us, that we may continue to pray for these people, and also allow us to donate whatever we can to help rebuild where money is needed. Lord, we're grateful for our many blessings and for the grace that you have given us before we even knew you, for the way that you keep on forgiving us even though we don't deserve it. Lord, we depend on you for all good things, especially for hope in a world which seems so chaotic. Help us to help others, to treat others with kindness, and to be your witnesses in a troubled world. We especially ask your blessings on our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before the ushers come, and I'm going to show you a bit of a video. It's just 2 minutes long, but Mark Rowland sent us this. It has to do with the effort that is being made by UMCORS, United Methodist Committee on Relief, which has been around for a long time and has been involved in pretty much every disaster I guess that we can think of. They are usually right there on the scene, and of course they are right there, and they are physically located just a short distance. But here she is. Listen to this.
Personnel, staff, coordinate and anticipate and plan for events such as this, readying their resources and their volunteers even in advance, and even as it unfolds, staging their relief supplies, anticipating response needs, securing resources so that they can respond more quickly. It is those people of the conferences and the United Methodist Church who are UMCORS, feet on the ground. Pray for the people, for those who are first responders, those who are helping, and of course for all of those who are in harm's way. They do express that they feel those prayers, and it means a lot to them to know that we are surrounding them and lifting them up in prayer. People who want to do something can easily make kits, relief kits. That information is on UMCORS' website. Another thing that people can do clearly is to donate to UMCORS. 100% of the donor dollar goes to helping people in need. I just want to say what a privilege it is to be a part of a connection of United Methodist people and also part of the National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, that network of voluntary sector folks and generous givers is so powerful and really does make a difference in the lives of people.
Thank you. And will the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering? Now, Bishop Bledsoe asked us very specifically if we would remember to take up a collection for the flood victims. That money that you donate through the church will go to UMCORS, and 100% of that is passed on to the victims to support of them, however that is used. The overhead of this organization is already taken care of by the Methodist Church, so every dollar that you give is used in that way. Please make your check out to the church, and you can put on down in the memo part for UMCORS, or if you have cash, put it in an envelope with that designation. So let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we have, and we ask us to ask you to allow us to know exactly how to use our resources for the good of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Together on our knees, O Lord.
To remain standing, will you pass the peace of Christ to one another?
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Jim, peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you.
Peace.
You may be seated. For the reading of our Old Testament scripture, you may remain seated. And just to make sure we all know what's going on, because it's Communion Sunday, we don't do the children's sermon on that day, but you're going to be okay staying in here with me. The sermon has a donkey. You're going to be fine. It's all right. So, first our scripture reading from Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 through 31. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as his adversary. Now, he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road and went into a field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it scraped against the wall and scraped Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck it again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've struck me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." But the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I been in the habit of treating you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down, falling on his face. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Oh God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of great value to your people, for it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. Have any of you noticed that there is a flying pig on Second Street? Have you noticed this? I don't know why I hadn't noticed it before, but the other day I was driving east on 2nd, on the east side of Maine, and I actually did a double take. I truly did. I had to turn around and go back to get a better look. There was a lady standing in the driveway of her home, so I got out of the pickup and went over and started talking to her. I said, "Hello, my name's Tina Cross. I'm one of the pastors over at First United Methodist Church, and this Sunday I'm going to start a sermon series called When Pigs Fly," and she started to giggle a little bit because she knew why I was there. I asked, "May I go and take some pictures, go stand in your garden where I can take some pictures and look." Is that awesome? Here's the front view. And there's little ones, too, down by its feet. I mean, truly, how cute is this? Now, she has other metal sculptures. You may have seen some. There's a horned toad. I really like this peacock. Let your eyes focus for a minute, and you'll see the peacock. But you've probably noticed the dinosaur. It sits back off the road a little bit. And all of her work is displayed in this big flower garden and vegetable garden. It's just beautiful. Well, it turns out that the artist and her husband, and I am so sorry, I cannot remember her name, they were married here in this church. She remembers Dr. Dillon. And we had a lovely chat just standing there in her driveway. She told me to be sure to pick some of the vegetables because she had too many to use, so I got a squash. But the flying pig, I'm telling you, the flying pig, it's just too good. And honestly, what better way to start this new sermon series, When Pigs Fly? Now, for the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at some of the miracle stories from the Bible. And I've honestly tried to choose some miracles that are a little bit less familiar to us, because we've pretty much all heard the story of Jesus walking on water and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But we're going to start with some that maybe you don't know quite as well. And we're going to start with Balaam. I love this story. You gotta love a talking donkey, right? I mean, admit it. How many of you were listening to the scripture all sitting there politely, but in your head, you were listening, you were thinking this? Oh, we don't have the sound. It's Mr. Ed. The sound is playing. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course, unless, of course... Wait, unless that is the course, is the famous Mr. Ed. Okay, well, anyway, I practiced it earlier, but... Now, in order to understand the story of Balaam, we need a little bit more information about him. And interestingly, we get some of Balaam's backstory in the New Testament. It's in the book of 2 Peter. Now, pay attention to the clues about Balaam's character. They have left the straight road and have gone astray, following the road of Balaam, son of Bozer, who loved the wages of doing wrong, but was rebuked for his own transgressions. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Okay, did you pick up on some key words here to clue you in a little bit on Balaam's character? Gone astray, loved doing wrong, the prophet's madness. Now, Balaam has some issues, okay? To begin with, Balaam is not the kind of wise prophet that we expect to come across in the Bible. He's not one of those guys. Balaam is a prophet for hire. Now, this is another story of the Israelite people who've escaped out of Egypt. They're getting ready to go in and claim the promised land. I know we've heard one of these stories quite recently in a sermon, but there's a lot of them because this part of Israelite history is a big, big deal. At the point where Balaam comes in, the Israelites have crossed the Jordan River from Jericho. They've already won a whole lot of battles, and now they're ready to take on the Moabites. Now, the king of Moab, he can see what's coming. He sees the Israelites all camped out there getting ready to attack. He knows what they did to the Amorites, and it wasn't pretty. So the king, his name is Balak, King Balak sends a message to Balaam, the prophet for hire, and he tells Balaam, a people has come out of Egypt. They have spread over the face of the earth and they have settled next to me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are stronger than I. Balak, the king of Moab, wants to hire Balaam to curse the Israelites so they won't conquer the country of Moab. Are you following this? So when the messengers get to Balaam and they tell him what they want, Balaam says, well, give me a minute here because I need to go talk to God. Which is very interesting because Balaam is not an Israelite, and yet he seems to act as if he's going to go and honor this God of the Israelites. Balaam has a little chat with God. God says, do not go and curse the Israelite because these are my people and I want them to enter the land that I promised him. There's some discussion back and forth. Balaam talks to God, he talks to the messengers, he talks to God again, and eventually God changes his instructions and says, okay, go with them, but only do what I tell you to do. Now this is where it gets a little bit weird. Balaam gets up in the morning, he saddles his donkey, he goes with the messengers from Moab, and then we are told God's anger was kindled because he was going. Well, what is the deal with that? Because didn't God just say, okay, go ahead, go with the messengers? Why is God mad now? It doesn't make any sense unless we remember that scripture that came out of 2 Peter. Balaam loved the wages of doing wrong. The problem here is Balaam's intentions. It looks like he's doing what God says to do, but really, he's planning to make money by throwing the Israelites under the bus, or donkey, whatever. He's really got some bad stuff going on here, and he's planning to make money by doing bad things to God's people. It's an age-old story, right? We have all known someone who says one thing, but they do another. Perhaps, just perhaps, maybe we've even been that person from time to time. It never works out well, does it? But lucky for Balaam that he has a little furry friend looking out for him. Because God sends a sword-waving angel to block their path. The dude's got a sword and he's waving it around. Balaam doesn't see it, but the donkey does. Now the donkey knows better than to mess with an angel who's waving a sword all around. So the little donkey actually makes a move to protect himself and his rider. But old Balaam comes unglued. He hits the donkey with a big stick repeatedly. He smacks the donkey when it veers off into a field to avoid the angel. He smacks the donkey when it scrapes up against the wall and scrapes Balaam's foot trying to get around the angel. And just a side note, how many of you have had a horse try to scrape you off? Yeah, me too. Balaam whacks the donkey when the donkey lies down because the angel is completely blocking the narrow path that's ahead. Balaam just keeps beating this poor little donkey until finally the donkey turns to Balaam and says, "Enough already! Quit hitting me!" Now it's at this moment that to me comes the most amazing part of the entire story. Balaam's response to the donkey is to tell the donkey, "Well, you're making a fool out of me." The donkey talked. The donkey just opened up its mouth and used words to express its feelings. It's a talking donkey. And all that Balaam can see is that the donkey's not doing what Balaam wants him to do. Now, if you or I were with a donkey or any animal and it suddenly opened its mouth and started speaking to us like Dr. Doolittle, don't you think that our reaction would be a little bit more like this? We'd at least be surprised. More like amazed or terrified. You would think that for at least a moment, Balaam would be distracted enough to forget about himself. But no. God sends the miracle of a speaking donkey, and all that Balaam can think about is, this donkey is making me look like a fool. Yes, Balaam, you do look like a fool, but not in the way that you think. How often does God do miraculous things in our lives and we miss it? And granted, you and I have probably never heard an animal open up its mouth and have words come out. But most of us are well aware that animals are very capable of very clear communication. Isn't that in itself something of a miracle? How many times do human beings communicate with one another in language that extends far beyond words? We've been seeing it all week long. Examples of people reaching out to others in Houston and southern Texas and on the Louisiana, all along the coast. Folks, that is a miracle. You know, one of the most common questions that pastors are asked is, why doesn't God do miracles anymore like he used to do in the Bible? I think God does do miracles. I think God does miracles all the time, but it's up to us to see them. In just a moment, we're going to gather together around the table of the Lord to share communion with one another. And every single one of us in this room is going to have an opportunity to choose how we're going to experience this event. What are you going to focus on this morning? Shall we focus on who's serving the elements or whether the person next to us walks quickly enough or whether the person in front of us takes a little too long kneeling or standing up at the rail? Will our attention be on whether we like the music playing in the background or are we going to keep taking a glance at our watch because that's the most important thing on our mind? Or will we come to the table of Jesus the Christ with open minds and open hearts, ready to receive the miracle of Jesus inhabiting us? Balaam missed the point. But let's you and I be amazed by every talking donkey we encounter. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in the singing of our communion hymn, One Bread, One Body.
You may be seated. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to our Lord, our God.
Give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, O Lord, for you have blessed us with the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We who are not worthy to come before you, yet we come before you as the most important people because you have given Christ for us. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We remember that Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, met with his disciples to share the Passover meal. And during the eating of the meal, he took the bread. He gave thanks to God, broke the bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's love for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us who are gathered here today and upon these elements of juice and bread. Oh God, let them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And let us join together in the words which Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our communion servers come forward to prepare the elements, let me remind you that ours is an open table. It means that all who are here, whether you're a member or a Methodist or not, you are invited, you're encouraged to come forward to receive these elements. This morning we will be receiving the elements by intinction. That means that you will receive a piece of bread. You are to dip the bread into the grape juice and eat it as you return to your seats. Come and let us experience together the miracle that is the Lord's Supper.
Yes, God has. This one's here.
I'm missing somebody. Caleb?
No.
Are you Caleb? Okay, great.
You need to go over there, please.
Give me another 10 years on.
Okay.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for thee.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you.
The law of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Amen.
Judy, the body of our Lord Jesus.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Amen. Jim, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This little piece of bread means that Jesus loves you very, very much. The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Sue, the body of Christ, broken for you. Jim, the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Thank you.
This is the body of Christ, which is
broken
for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Bill, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
The body of Christ,
the body of our
which
Lord
is
Jesus Christ, given for you. Tommy, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Lisa, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for
the
you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Kurt, the body of Christ, which is broken
the
for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Jean, this
Willie,
is
the body
of
our Lord
which is broken
Jesus
for
Christ,
you.
Given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ,
the body
which
of
is
our
broken
Lord
for
Jesus
you.
Christ, given for you.
This is the body
of our
of
Lord
Christ,
Jesus,
which is
given for you.
You. Beth, the body of Christ,
body of
which is broken
also given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus
This is the body
Christ,
of Christ, which is broken for you, John.
The body of our Lord, given
this
for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body
this
of our
body
Lord
of Christ,
Jesus Christ,
which is broken
given
for you.
You.
Anna, the body of Christ,
Jesus
which is broken
Christ,
for you. Jaquetta, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord, given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus
Richard,
Christ,
the body of
given
Christ,
for
which is broken for you.
Here, here, here. Okay, I'll get.
Andy, the body of Christ, which is broken.
Not only do you want to get on the right lane, but you always want to keep your heels down.
Yes, ma'am, or sir.
Glenn, the body of our
this
Lord
is the
Jesus
body of
Christ,
Christ
given for you.
For you.
Wanda, the body of our Lord
this
Jesus
is the body
Christ,
of Christ
given
which
you.
Is broken for you.
Al, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. The body of our
Come
Lord Jesus
here.
Christ,
We're
given
serve
for you.
The others who are receiving communion.
Carolyn, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Amen.
Julie and I are going to serve you.
Okay, thank you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
This is the body of Christ shed for you.
The body
thank
of Christ, which is broken for you. Now I'm going to invite you to serve Julie
thank
and I.
You.
And you're going to serve Julie and I.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Judy, this is the body of Christ given for you.
Herbie, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you.
Thanks be to God.
The blood of our Savior shed for you.
The
Have you been served? Would you serve them, please?
Steve, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. The blood of our Savior shed for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The blood of our Savior shed for you.
Would you come this way?
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The blood of our Savior shed for you.
Is broken for you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. While we stand and sing our final hymn, I remind you once again that today is a good Sunday. If you haven't reunited with the fellowship of this church, dedicated your life to Christ, today is a good day. Would you come during the singing of this hymn? Will you stand as we sing?
Just a reminder that next Sunday we will have worship here as usual at the 10:30 time, but we will also be offering Cowboy Church out at the PVH Arena. If you want to know where that is, come and let me know. Our youth will be out there serving coffee and donuts to all of the riders, and we will have a banjo player from our very own congregation out to help lead some of the singing. So, I hope that you have a beautiful and lovely Labor Day weekend. Now receive this blessing and benediction. Go forth knowing that God places miracles all around you. Find them.
See you guys.
See them. And rejoice in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.